You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. The House unanimously passes a bill to halt sale of American data to foreign foes. The U.S. sanctions Russian individuals and entities for a global disinformation campaign. China warns of cyber threats from foreign hacking groups. A logistics firm isolates its Canadian division after a cyber attack. Avanti warns of another critical vulnerability. Researchers find hundreds of vulnerable Firebase instances. Microsoft phases out weaker encryption. Formula One fans fight phishing in the fast lane. Glassdoor is accused of adding real names to profiles without user consent. Our guest is Adam Myers, Senior Vice President of Counter-Adversary Operations at CrowdStrike, discussing how adversaries are attacking cloud environments and why it's an increasingly popular attack surface. And pwn2own winners take home their second Tesla. It's Thursday, March 21st, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Thank you for joining us here today. It is always great to have you with us. The U.S. House of Representatives unanimously passed a bill to prevent data brokers from selling Americans' sensitive information to foreign adversaries, including China. This legislation, part of a broader focus on data privacy, was expedited through the House, demonstrating a strong bipartisan stance on protecting national security and privacy. The bill, seen as a step toward addressing concerns over foreign exploitation of personal data, moves alongside efforts to force TikTok to sever ties with its Chinese owners. Despite this progress, privacy advocates call for the advancement of the more comprehensive American Data Privacy and Protection Act, which remains stalled. The ADPA aims to offer wider protections by reducing the overall amount of data available online, rather than just limiting sales to specific entities. This legislative action aligns with a White House executive order to block foreign adversaries from accessing large swaths of American personal data. The focus now shifts to the Senate, with an emphasis on the importance of comprehensive data privacy protections. The U.S. Treasury's Office of Foreign Asset Controls sanctioned two individuals for their roles in a Russian malign influence campaign aimed at impersonating media outlets to mislead and undermine trust in democratic institutions globally, including U.S. elections. These actions, directed by the Russian government, form part of a broader effort to destabilize democracy using cyber activities and influence campaigns worldwide. The sanctions block any U.S. assets of the designated and prohibit transactions with them, reflecting OFAC's ongoing efforts to disrupt Russian disinformation tactics. China's Ministry of State Security warns of significant cyber threats from foreign hacking groups targeting businesses and government networks, emphasizing the rampant nature of such attacks. The ministry detailed tactics like phishing and exploiting software vulnerabilities, urging heightened cybersecurity vigilance and reporting of incidents. Amidst increasing cyber espionage accusations between China and the U.S., China has bolstered its cybersecurity laws and measures, focusing on safeguarding national security and data integrity. This includes expanding counter-espionage efforts and forthcoming stricter penalties under the cybersecurity law, highlighting a growing emphasis on combating cyber threats and espionage. As we have highlighted here previously, it's worth noting that these sorts of warnings from China, distributed through their own local media, tend to be comparatively short of specific details when contrasted with reports from the U.S. and its allies. International firm Radiant Logistics experienced a cybersecurity incident impacting its Canadian operations on March 14th, leading to the isolation of those operations to prevent further unauthorized activity. Despite service delays in Canada, the company, which specializes in logistics services like warehouse and distribution, assured that the attack would not significantly affect its financial condition. The U.S. and international operations remain unaffected. The incident, which has not been claimed by any ransomware group, comes amid increasing ransomware attacks on the logistics sector, targeting essential services and causing significant disruptions. Radiant Logistics, with about $1 billion in annual revenue, has engaged cybersecurity professionals for assessment and remediation. This follows a pattern of cyber attacks on critical infrastructure companies, including Americold and Cisco, highlighting the growing threat to the logistics and distribution industry. Ivanti has issued a warning to customers about a critical remote code execution vulnerability with a CVSS score of 9.6 in its standalone Sentry product. This flaw allows unauthenticated attackers to run arbitrary commands on the appliance's operating system if they are on the same network. The vulnerability was reported by experts from the NATO Cybersecurity Center. Although there are no known exploits in the wild at the time of disclosure, Avanti emphasizes that the vulnerability cannot be exploited via the internet without a valid TLS client certificate. This announcement follows a joint advisory from the Five Eyes Alliance about threat actors targeting known vulnerabilities in Avanti's products. An independent group of security researchers scanning the internet for vulnerable Firebase instances discovered significant security lapses, finding 916 sites with improperly set up databases, exposing vast amounts of personal data. Owned by Google, Firebase is designed to aid app development and hosting. Many of these instances had security rules disabled, allowing unauthorized data modifications, including on a banking site. Over 5 million domains were scanned, revealing exposed details of millions, including names, emails, phone numbers, and passwords, 20 million in plain text, and billing information. Despite Firebase offering secure sign-in solutions, some administrators stored passwords insecurely. After notifying the affected companies, only a small fraction responded, but a quarter corrected the misconfigurations. Microsoft is phasing out support for Windows RSA encryption keys under 2048 bits to enhance cybersecurity, aligning with internet standards that discourage the use of weaker encryption. This move, aimed at preventing advanced cryptographic attacks, necessitates organizations to update their machine identity management, especially for server authentication via Transport Layer Security, TLS. The change underlines the importance of longer key lengths and shorter validity periods for reducing brute force attack risks. However, this transition may challenge enterprises without a sophisticated approach to managing machine identities, potentially leading to operational disruptions if deprecated identities aren't replaced promptly. Microsoft has yet to announce the start date for this deprecation, but anticipates a grace period similar to previous updates. On March 17th of this year, hackers compromised the official email of Belgium's Circuit des Spas Francorchamps, sending phishing emails to Formula One fans with fake 50-euro vouchers for the Grand Prix. The counterfeit site, designed to mirror the official Spa Grand Prix website, solicited personal and banking information. Identifying legitimate emails became challenging as the scammers utilized the event's official email. Spa GP quickly alerted its customers to the scam and engaged its IT security subcontractor to prevent future incidents. Prioritizing data confidentiality and integrity, Spa GP filed a complaint with cybercrime authorities on March 18th, initiating a criminal investigation to uncover the breach's causes and prevent recurrence. Glassdoor, the popular online platform for anonymous employee reviews, has initiated a controversial practice of adding real names to user profiles without their consent. This development came to light when a Glassdoor user named Monica, a Midwest-based software professional, discovered her real name added to her profile following an interaction with Glassdoor's support team. Monica had reached out for assistance in removing information from her account, only to find her privacy compromised instead. Monica's discovery sparked immediate concern, leading her to caution the Glassdoor community through a blog post, urging users to reconsider their membership on the platform. The root of this issue lies in Glassdoor's acquisition of Fishbowl, a professional networking app requiring users to verify their identities. This acquisition, which led to an automatic sign-up of Glassdoor users to Fishbowl, marked a significant shift in Glassdoor's operational policies, including changes to its terms of service that now require user verification. While Glassdoor insists that anonymity can still be maintained, the integration with Fishbowl has introduced potential risks to user privacy. The EFF, known for defending Glassdoor users against employer retaliation, expressed concerns that Glassdoor's new policy of storing real names increases the likelihood of users being linked to their reviews if the platform's data is ever subpoenaed or leaked. This development is particularly troubling for users who rely on Glassdoor to speak candidly about their workplace experiences without fear of backlash. In response to the outcry, Glassdoor offered a statement emphasizing its commitment to user anonymity and the option to remain anonymous while using its services, including Fishbowl. However, Monica's experience and the ensuing public debate raise questions about the practical implications of Glassdoor's policy changes and their alignment with the company's long-standing principles. Glassdoor's recent actions serve as a cautionary tale about the delicate balance between expanding services and safeguarding the foundational values that attract and retain users. For many, the incident underscores the importance of vigilance and advocacy in protecting digital privacy in an interconnected online ecosystem. Coming up after the break, CrowdStrike's Adam Myers joins me to discuss how adversaries are attacking cloud environments. Stay with us. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. Hey Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. Adam Myers is Senior Vice President of Counter-Adversary Operations at CrowdStrike, and I recently caught up with him to discuss how adversaries are attacking cloud environments and why it's an increasingly popular attack surface.
So when, this must be going back 10 years now, 2014, I think it was, my wife actually works at CrowdStrike as well, and she is in the marketing org. And way back when, she said, hey, would you guys do a yearly report that we could publicly release? And I said, no. And then she said, you're going to do a yearly report that you're going to publicly release. And I said, okay.
She said, yes, dear.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't want to mess with that. And right. And that's, we put it out. And after we did it, I was like, wow, taking a look back, it's kind of interesting. Like, there's a lot of interesting things that happened over the last year. So then the next year came around and she said, so you're going to do it again. And I said, yep. And we've been doing it ever since.
That's interesting. I mean, does the process of putting together something like this, and on top of that, knowing that it's going to be for public consumption, does that change the way that you approach it?
That's a great question. We actually do an internal version of it for customers, and that comes out in early January. Mm. And then we kind of do a more... You know, that's probably twice as long, and there's probably twice as much information in it. But we try to kind of condense that down to kind of the top themes or stories and make it more accessible to the general public, right? Because I think we've done these before where we didn't do that. This is recent years we've been offering this consolidated version. And in the years before that, what I think would happen is a lot of people would download this massive 70-page, 80-page PDF onto their desktop with every intention of reading it. And then probably about 6 months later, they would come to the conclusion that they weren't going to read it, and then they delete it. So this was really meant to make it just easier for the corporate audience that doesn't have that level of time to go into every nuance of everything and trend that we saw over the past year. So this is kind of the wave tops, just the thing that they need to be aware of.
Yeah. Well, let's dig in together here. I mean, what are some of the things that really caught your attention?
There was a few key themes that we talk about and some key stats. So maybe starting with the key stats, we track over 230 threat actors that we designate as a named adversary. And we added 34 in the last year. That's e-crime actors, China, nation-state threat actors across the board, new nation-state threat actors. We added Egypt as one that we were tracking this year. So the problem becomes more protracted, I think, is probably the key takeaway from that stat. More threat actors who are engaging in offensive cyber operations. The next stat that I would say is, we saw a 75% increase in cloud intrusions this year. Over 2022. And if you had asked me a year and a half ago, what are the cloud, threats, or what does a cloud risk environment look like? It probably would have been coin mining. But what we're seeing now is that there are more and more threat actors who are leveraging that cloud because so many prospective organizations, or targets for those threat actors have moved into the cloud because it is much more efficient. And by default, it is secure. It's just when they start to manipulate it and to configure it that they open up a lot of those vulnerabilities. So we've seen a massive uptick in cloud attacks over the last year. I'll say also that on the e-crime threat side, this is one that's kind of interesting for a lot of folks because everybody knows that ransomware is a problem. And right after the conflict in Ukraine started, there was a lot of people saying, oh, that's going to impact ransomware. It's going to impact e-crime. What we found was that in 2022, when the conflict started, there was a bit of an impact to the amount of e-crime activity we were seeing, but they quickly kind of recovered towards the end of the year. And what we saw in 2023 was just a massive uptick in new activity. What's really interesting in the report is that the average ransom demand is down 27%. And you would think that would indicate that there's less of it happening, but it's quite the opposite. What we're seeing now is more volume ransomware. And you know, more and more threat actors are including data extortion, where they threaten to leak the information as well. We saw a 76% increase in the number of data leaks that were advertised over the last year. We also saw a 6% increase in new vulnerabilities with a 9 or 10 CVSS3 score. And we saw the cost of everything that makes up that e-crime ecosystem going up. The cost for a loader to load malware was up 169%. The cost of a cryptor to make it so that tools are not visible or discoverable by security products went up 250%. And info stealers, probably this is the most interesting. We saw an explosion of identity-based attacks over the last year. And the cost of an info stealer, which is kind of what fuels a lot of those identity attacks, was up 286%. So the e-crime ecosystem is thriving with more volume, but probably less average ransom demand cost.
So on that average ransom demand cost, is there, to what degree is there an element of the ransomware operators increasing their own level of intelligence? In other words, coming at an organization with a smart number in mind based on some sort of research they did ahead of time rather than just dropping a big demand on somebody?
We find that they tend to use the average revenue of the target. You can look that up on any number of sites. And they typically go with, you know, somewhere around like 5% of the average revenue of a company as the ransom demand. And I think that they also understand that cyber insurance and how that whole process works. So they kind of know where they're going to land.
With the cybercrime world booming here and their own prices and costs going up, where does that leave the defenders? Are folks being effective here at protecting themselves? Or to what degree have the defenders evolved their own techniques to be able to parry against this?
Well, the thing that's really interesting about that question is that the threat actors, there's this quote that I like to paraphrase from Bruce Lee, where he says, be like water. Right? Take the path of least resistance, the easiest way to get there. Mm. And what we've seen is that things like EDR, right, CrowdStrike has Falcon EDR, there's a number of other ones out there, have effectively made trying to use the old techniques that worked in 2022 pretty ineffective. Right? It's become much more widespread. More and more organizations have adopted modern endpoint detection and response tooling. And so the threat actors didn't try harder. I kind of always liken this to airport security. Right? If you try to go into the airport with a water bottle, they're probably going to stop you. Mm. But if you are a TSA agent, there's probably less scrutiny. So just steal a badge or make a fake one and come in using that, and you get your water bottle in, right? And that's effectively what we're seeing on the enterprise, that EDR has made it difficult to bring Microsoft Excel with macros that downloads Cobalt Strike, and then the threat actor starts to bring in tools like Mimikatz to dump credentials and move laterally. And now what they're doing is they're focusing on the identity aspect. They know that if they come in as a legitimate user and live off the land, it's far more difficult to detect them, right? They blend in. So we're seeing more and more threat actors have adopted this identity approach. There's a lot of social engineering attacks that kind of lead the way there. And then once they get in with that legitimate credential, they're going to use tools that are less alerting. So they use remote monitoring and management tools like FleetDeck or AnyDesk in order to establish and maintain access. That cloud stat that I gave you earlier is a factor too, because 75% increase in that those cloud attacks, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's how they get in initially. It just means that we're seeing an uptick in these cloud attacks. And what they're typically doing is they're compromising a credential, getting into the cloud, using that for persistence, and using that to deploy tooling. Things like Azure Run commands can be very powerful for a threat actor. And so, you know, they're really kind of staying out of the searchlight, you know, of the EDR. And more enterprises, to get back to your question, you know, and this is one of the powerful reasons we put this report out, is they need to understand that they need to invest in identity protection. Multi-factor authentication is not the silver bullet, because it can be defeated. We see threat actors using SIM swapping or multi-factor exhaustion attacks, things like that, to get past it. So what you really need to do is have this identity protection wrapped around the identity. And when you start to see users engaging in anomalous behavior or coming in with anomalous devices that they don't typically use, that should be used to kind of enhance the security and contain that identity before it can access any data. And that's really, I think, probably the number one takeaway, is that organizations have invested in endpoint protection and endpoint security, but they haven't really done so in cloud security, and they haven't really done so in identity. And you need to have cross-domain visibility. You need to be able to see into the identity stack, into the enterprise stack, and into the cloud stack if you're going to actually stop these threat actors.
Where do we stand in terms of the spread between the haves and the have-nots? You know, I'm thinking of those small and medium-sized businesses who don't have access to the tooling that an enterprise customer might have. Is there a sense that spread is getting wider?
Well, you know, I think the good news is that there is managed detection and response. So at CrowdStrike, for example, we have something called Falcon Complete, where you can have, you know, Falcon, CrowdStrike's tooling deployed. You can have the OverWatch team, which is our threat hunters, who are kind of keeping an eye on it and monitoring what's happening. And then the Complete team can actually come in and do the cleanup and remediation for you. So you don't have to, you know, one of the things we talk about is breakout time. Mm-hmm. And in 2022, the breakout time was 84 minutes. That's how long it takes for a threat actor to get from initial access to move laterally and escalate privilege. In 2023, it was 22 minutes faster, meaning mm-hmm. the average breakout time was 62 minutes. And the fastest breakout time in 2022 was 7 minutes, some odd seconds. And in 2023, it was 2 minutes, 7 seconds.
Wow.
So think about what happens in 2 minutes and 7 seconds, going to get a cup of coffee or use right. the restroom.
I was just saying, right. That's getting yourself a breath of fresh air. I mean, that's nothing.
Exactly. So you can't be, if you can't even get up and use the restroom, for example, then you're in a bad spot. So having that continuous monitoring and visibility is absolutely essential.
So the good news is that these types of things are within reach for those less sophisticated organizations who kind of need to rely on a turnkey solution.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of options out there. And, you know, we're working with a lot of our partners as well. We've announced a couple of really big partnerships in the last year that let us kind of bring those things to those customers in a, you know, one, through a channel that they like to acquire things through, and two, maybe through a provider that they like to work with. So there's lots of ways to kind of not, you know, not throw your hands up in the air and just, you know, resign yourself to getting hacked.
Right. Well, I'm looking at the information you all have gathered here. What are your recommendations for folks as we continue our way through 2024? What are the tips that you're sharing with your customers?
Yeah, so I mean, identity protection is the number one thing. If I get up on a soapbox, it's usually got identity protection labeled on it, because that is the number one thing that we see day in and day out when we're doing incident response engagements and things like that, is that the identity is constantly being compromised. And here's why that's so important. If you look at the breakdown of one of those attacks, you know, I mentioned the 62-minute average, and the 2-minute was the fastest. But, you know, looking at one attack that I had was 53 minutes and 46 seconds. 39 minutes of that was password spraying. So if you think about where the adversary needs to invest to get faster and better, it's that initial access, that password spraying or brute forcing or however they're getting in. And we're seeing lots of different techniques and different types of identity, even API keys and things like that can be very powerful. But the first 39 minutes of that attack was that password spraying. And then you start to see 31 seconds later, they drop a file. 3 minutes later, they drop discovery tools. 3 minutes after that, they drop ransomware. And then they try to run the discovery tool, gets blocked by Falcon. And then they spend 5 minutes trying to figure out what happened. They see Falcon's there and they go away. But it's important that if you can get in front of that identity step, that's where threat actors are probably going to be investing in the next year in order to increase their speed and effectiveness. The second recommendation is, you have to have effective cloud security. Cloud security posture management and things like that are absolutely essential if you're running in a cloud. If you have Microsoft Azure for your domain and email and things like that, for example, or you're using some other public cloud for other purposes, you need to have effective monitoring and visibility into that cloud to see when you're introducing potential vulnerabilities. Cross-domain visibility is what I mentioned to you earlier as well, which is having the visibility into the identity, having identity protection in place, having visibility into the endpoint with like an EDR tool, and having that visibility into the cloud. And if you have IoT or OT, that also becomes another domain. But having that cross-domain visibility, because these threat actors are going to break something on the identity side in order to get someplace on the enterprise side and maybe leverage the cloud for persistence after that. So if you have visibility into those three things and you can see and correlate activity between those three domains or four domains or whatever it is, then you're going to have a much better chance at catching something. The other thing I tell people is you have to practice, because you practice like you play. And if you don't go through and do a tabletop exercise and say, what would happen if we got hit by ransomware? What would happen if our cloud S3 bucket was left open? Then you're going to fall on your face, and you need to know, do you have outside counsel? Who's managing corporate comms? Who's managing PR? Do you have to file something with the SEC? So just by going through those tabletops, you build that muscle memory to be able to respond. And then finally, you have to know the adversary. You have to understand these 230 plus threat actors that we track, who they are, what they're after, how they operate, and then you can orchestrate your defenses effectively.
That's Adam Myers, Senior Vice President of Counter-Adversary Operations at CrowdStrike.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And finally, at Pwn to Own Vancouver 2024, French security researchers from Synactive won a Tesla Model 3 and $200,000 by exploiting a zero-day vulnerability in the car's electronic control unit via an integer overflow flaw. The achievement placed them at the top of the leaderboard on the first day of the competition organized by Trend Micro's Zero Day Initiative. The competition's first day saw $732,500 awarded for 19 zero-day vulnerabilities across various products, aiming to enhance vendor security. Other notable achievements included Manfred Paul's remote code execution on Apple Safari and South Korean team Theory's exploit on VMware Workstation, demonstrating a high level of skill and innovation among participants. The event, which offers $1.3 million in cash and prizes, emphasizes the critical role of ethical hacking in identifying and patching vulnerabilities. This is the second time Synactive's team has won a Tesla at Pwn to Own, which leaves us wondering if they'll need to use some of their prize money to build a bigger garage. Our automotive desk tells us there's no truth to the rumor that Tesla is considering offering a special Model 3 Synactive edition. Congratulations to all the winners. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. We're privileged that N2K and podcasts like the CyberWire are part of the daily intelligence routine of many of the most influential leaders and operators in the public and private sector, as well as the critical security teams supporting the Fortune 500 and many of the world's preeminent intelligence and law enforcement agencies. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.